Anyone who was married in Lancaster County would get a certificate from the county signifying and authorizing their marriage. But Lancaster County's marriage certificate is unlike most. It doesn't have the look of just kind of an administrative stamp on it, but it's really a work of art. It has beautiful colors. It has two beautifully drawn birds. They're not eagles. They are distelfinks. Distelfinks. And that's a word that means a thistle finch. And it's noting the European goldfinch. And it is a symbol of goodwill and happiness. Well, Barb and I were married in Lancaster County in 1975. And in 1979, we moved to Delaware County to take up work with Dr. Sachs at church down there in Haverford. But from that move, we lost that certificate. We could not find it. We looked high and low and could not find it at all. It's good nobody asked for proof, because we didn't have it. You know, today speaks of a far more significant search. It's a search not for an inanimate object, but it is a search for a person, a search for a lost person. And we're going to see in our text this morning one of the amazing statements of Jesus up to this point in our study of Luke's gospel. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. So let's look at the context for that as we look at Luke chapter 19. Please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. And we'll be looking at verses 1 to 10. Luke 19, 1 to 10. This is God's holy word. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He's gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my goods I have given to the poor, and I have defrauded anyone anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word, which searches our hearts, and pray that your Spirit would help us to understand these words and to apply them according to your purpose, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've noted, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and last week we saw that he interacted with a blind man named Bartimaeus, whom he healed. That was just outside of Jericho, and now Jesus is entering Jericho, and as we will see, he meets a man named Zacchaeus. And as we walk through the text this morning, we're going to see the lost sought, and the lost found. The lost sought, and the lost found. So we're told something about Zacchaeus here. We're told that he was a tax collector, and we learned a few weeks ago in the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee, learned a little bit about what tax collectors were all about. We recognized that they were people who were hired by the RRS, that is the Roman Revenue Service, to collect taxes from the occupied people. And the problem was they got this position by bidding, being the highest bidder, to collect the taxes in that region. And as a result, they were disliked by the people because the top bidder got the job, and the only way they got paid is if they collected not only what they promised Rome, but they got some money on top of that. And so imagine, for example, that you were expecting to pay 15% of your income in taxes. That's what you had planned for. But then the RRS guy comes around and says, oh, no, I pledged to Rome that I would get 25% plus 10% for me. Well, these guys were not liked at all. That's why tax collector was synonymous with the term sinner. To give you an idea how much they were disliked, the rabbis actually debated the extent to which a house becomes unclean when tax collectors and thieves enter. So it wasn't a good thing. And we've also seen in our study of Luke's gospel that it really irked the Pharisees and their religious leaders that Jesus spent time with the tax collectors. But there's something new in this description of Zacchaeus. He's described as a chief tax collector. This only appears here in all of Scripture. And what this means is that he was one who supervised many, many other tax collectors. And it's no surprise that he was in Jericho, because Jericho was one of three major tax collection points in Israel: Caesarea on the Mediterranean Sea, Capernaum to the north, and Jericho in the south. And they were in these strategic locations because of the trade routes. They would also tax goods as they came through, as they came into the land or out of the land. Zacchaeus had a prime post as a chief tax collector. This means that he had money. He had more money. He had lots more money than an ordinary run-of-the-mill tax collector would have, and he climbed over whoever he had to climb over, other tax collectors, other people, his own comrades in the country. He was motivated by the almighty denarius, for sure. So Jesus is passing through on his way, and there's a noise outside, and Zacchaeus undoubtedly said, what's this about? And he was told that Jesus is passing by. Now, why Zacchaeus was interested, you'll notice it says that he was seeking to see who Jesus was. Not exactly sure why that was the case. Why do people seek the Lord? There are all kinds of reasons. Maybe there are pressures that come into their lives. Maybe there are issues or matters that occur in the lives of people who are near to them that causes them to think about their spiritual state. Over the course of my ministry, I've had the opportunity to officiate over many, many sad funerals. One of the saddest was for a beautiful 14-year-old blue-eyed blonde girl who had a congenital heart disorder, and nobody knew it until she just collapsed and died. Hundreds gathered for her funeral service just a few days after Christmas that year. They were weeping. They were open. They were looking for peace. They were looking for answers. They were looking for comfort. But many of them left with the knowledge of a new life in Christ. But what was going on with Zacchaeus? We don't really know. Perhaps he had heard, unlike other rabbis, that Jesus was willing to sit down and talk to tax collectors. Maybe this was finally someone that he could talk to. Or maybe he was getting to the point where that tough exterior was crumbling because inside he was hurting. He could see, as he returned to his palatial estate, he could see the faces of those whom he had sold into slavery. Perhaps it was more difficult to ignore the jeers and the mocking as he'd walk down the street. You know, in just a moment, we're going to see that he was a man of small stature. He was short. You just imagine him walking around, hey, there goes little big man. Or there goes Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean. Of course, they didn't have Mr. Clean back then, but they may have called him Mr. Clean because his name Zacchaeus ironically meant pure. But if he was struggling with any of these things, to whom could he go? Because the rabbis wouldn't talk to him. They wouldn't have anything to do with him. And so perhaps Zacchaeus got to the point where he may have been big in his bank account, but realized he was really a very small man. Whatever the reason, he wanted to see Jesus. And so he comes out of his office, you picture, and see the big crowd going by, and just see him trying to trying to get a look at Jesus, and he tries to get through, but nobody's going to let him through. Get out of here, Zacchaeus. And then he looks down the road. He says, how am I going to get a glimpse of this one of whom I have heard? So he looks down the road, and he sees a tree, and it's a sycamore tree, now the most famous sycamore tree in history, I would say, with branches near to the ground. So you just imagine this man with all his robes and all his wealth going down to that tree and hustling his way up the tree. Imagine people say, look at Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus didn't care. He was desperate to see Jesus. But then what happens next? Verse 5, the crowd is passing his way, and you know, Zacchaeus was just expecting to get a look. But Jesus stops, and everybody stops with him. And Jesus looks at him. And then he speaks to him. And what does he say? Does he say, Zacchaeus, you traitor, you should repent? No, what does he say? He says, Zacchaeus, hurry down. I must come and stay with you today. And notice, he doesn't say, Zacchaeus, would it be convenient if I stopped over today? Zacchaeus, would you mind if I stopped by? Now look at the language that Jesus uses. He says, I must stay at your house in verse 5. I must stay at your house. That's a little Greek word that is filled with imperative, which is filled with insistence. And where have we seen it? Where have we seen it the most in our study of Luke so far? Well, where we've seen it is when Jesus is talking about his mission to go to Jerusalem. Just a couple of weeks ago in chapter 17, he was talking about his second coming. But then he said, but first he must, that is the Son of Man, must suffer and be rejected by this generation. And then in chapter 13, he is talking, he says, nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and following because a prophet cannot die outside of Jerusalem. And then back in that great chapter 9, Jesus says, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders. And so here you see the one who came to seek and save the lost. You saw him insisting to come into the house of Zacchaeus. And all the people said, ah, Zacchaeus, this is your lucky day. Good for you. Is that what they said? No, it says, what does it say? It says, some of the people grumbled. Are you looking? You need to be looking. Does it say, a few of the people grumbled? It says, all the people grumbled. Then they all grumbled. There he goes again. There's Jesus. There he goes. He's no judge of character. He's going to spend time. Well, we've seen him spend time with sinners before, but this guy's really a big sinner because he's a chief tax collector. But Jesus goes nonetheless because he came to seek and to save the lost. And this is a theme that we've seen before, haven't we, in Luke's gospel? Remember, that whole 15th chapter was developing this theme. And what was lost there? What was lost was a sheep, a coin, and a son, a prodigal son. And as you look at the first verse of that chapter, it's not surprising. What was the motivation for these parables? The tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he told them those parables. He came to seek and to save the lost. What did it require to find the sheep? Well, the shepherd left the 99, didn't he, to find the one. What did the woman do? Well, she swept all the nooks and crannies of her house before she found the lost coin. The son? The prodigal? It looks a little different because you see actually the searching of his heart by the Lord, which brings him to come to himself, and he returns home to his father. And in this lost soul we know as Zacchaeus, the Spirit had already been working in his heart. And that's how the lost was sought. Jesus says, I must go. I must come to your house today. And finally, we see the lost found. Zacchaeus hurried and came down and received him joyfully. Now, something else you see in the parables in Luke chapter 15 is the joy when the lost is found. What does the shepherd do? He puts the sheep on his shoulders and carries him home. What does the woman do? She calls all her neighbors in for a party to celebrate. What does the father do when the lost son returns? Well, the father throws a big feast. Yes, we found the wedding certificate in our move to Lancaster County. It was incumbent upon me. I got the job of cleaning out the attic, and I've been accused of throwing out valuable things in the process. But my friends, I looked in a box, a dusty old box, and there was this, among many other things, was this brown envelope, and inside the brown envelope was that marriage certificate. I was so happy, and I couldn't wait to tell Barb. And if you come to our house, you'll see that certificate hanging on the wall inside the door, beautifully framed. So if anybody has any questions, there it is. It's right there. So they went to lunch. You just imagine Zacchaeus welcoming Jesus into his home, and they would recline at table. You know, they would lie down. They put their weight on their left elbow, and they would reach in and eat. Zacchaeus would have placed Jesus at the prime place at his right hand, and I'm sure the people who were there would have said, what are they talking about? What possibly could they be talking about? What's Jesus talking about with that man? Then comes the remarkable moment. Zacchaeus stands. Probably toward the end of the meal. He stands. And what does he say? He says, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. This is a picture of repentance, my friends. And you know, the thing about an inanimate object, like a certificate or keys or a wallet, they don't know when they've been found. They don't know when they've been lost, for that matter. But here, you see that in the repentant sinner knows that he's been found. He knows that he's been found, and most often when they know that they're found, they, for the first time, realize that they were lost. So what's the evidence that he was found? What's this? It's repentance. And if you were to ask yourself, well, what would this look like for somebody whose God was money? Well, here it is right in front of you. Half my goods I give to the poor. The most generous portion that the religious leaders of that day would say was 20%. 20%. But Zacchaeus says 50% I will give. That's a lot. And then he says, well, but that's okay, but what about all those people you ripped off in the past? What are you going to do about them? He says, well, if I have defrauded anyone, I will restore it fourfold. Now, if you look in Leviticus 6, the ordinary procedure for restitution is the face value plus one-fifth. So if someone had defrauded you of $100, they'd have to give you the $100 plus 20. But if you look in Exodus 22, you look at the laws of restitution regarding animals. Now, that's a lot higher. It's fourfold, fourfold. And so Zacchaeus is looking to the very highest level of restitution, and this, I'm imagining, would have drained his bank account a lot. But this is what it looks like to be found, to be transformed. Zacchaeus believed, but he also repented. True repentance is a change of heart. The result of a changed heart is a changed life. Westminster Shorter Catechism, question 87, asks, what is repentance unto life? And the answer is repentance unto life is a saving grace whereby a sinner out of a true sense of his sin and apprehension of the mercy of God in Christ, stuffed with grief and hatred of his sin, turn from it unto God with a full purpose of an endeavor after new obedience. And here you see this. You could put this as a caption under a picture of this moment. Because here you see Zacchaeus turning from his old way of life to the Savior, to a new way of life. And Jesus makes an amazing pronouncement, doesn't he? In verse 9, he said, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham." This man had found salvation because Jesus found him. His salvation is not based on restitution, but his restitution is evidence of his genuine change of heart. J.C. Ryle wrote, "Sin forsaken is one of the best evidences of sin forgiven." This is what the lost being found looks like. You say, what is something, when something is lost, what is characteristic of it? Well, it's out of place. It's not in the right spot. Your car keys, your wallet, that coin, that sheep, that son, he wasn't where he was supposed to be. But now, through repentance and faith, Zacchaeus was back where he should be, in a right relation with God through faith in Christ. And as you look at this text, I'm hoping some lights are going off in your mind. Because you remember a few weeks ago, Jesus' interaction with another rich man? Do you remember what Jesus said? "Well, you're very wealthy," he said. "Here's one thing you need to do." He thought he had everything together. "Here's what you need to do. Sell everything and give your possessions to the poor." And the man went away sad, remember? Because he was very rich. But here you have a very rich man, and do you remember also what Jesus said? He said, it's more difficult for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to go into the kingdom of God. And the disciples said, "Well, then who can be saved?" And Jesus said, "What's impossible with man is possible with God." Do you know what you've just seen in this text today? You've just seen the camel go through the eye of the needle. You have just seen what is impossible with man be possible with God. And you know that if you're here today and you've thought about this and you've thought to yourself, I can't possibly, Christ can't possibly receive me. Oh, yes, he can. He may be seeking you right now. Because as we see, the Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost. And this third point should really be the lost saved. The lost saved. And this should ring a couple of bells, too, because you think about those stories that we just heard of several weeks ago about the birth of Christ. You remember when the angel appeared to Joseph? What's one of the things that the angel told Joseph? "You shall call his name Jesus, Yeshua, for he will save his people from their sins." Salvation is of the Lord, and here we see that coming together with Jesus, focusing his purpose. He is going to Jerusalem so they can truly save people from their sins. Well, save from what? You know, I think there's been some people have misunderstood when the question comes, are you saved? I hope you can see that it's a perfectly good biblical concept. It's a perfectly good biblical question. And, well, save from what? Ha ha, save from what, buddy? Saved from the consequences of your sins. Saved from the condemnation and wrath that our sins deserved. Saved from a selfish, self-centered way of life. Saved from yourself. That's what Jesus comes to do. And you may ask the question, well, we have Zacchaeus. Look, Zacchaeus is seeking to see who Jesus was. But I think what we've all discovered is that those intermediate things that trouble us many times lead us to Jesus. Maybe Zacchaeus was seeking for peace. Maybe Zacchaeus was seeking forgiveness. Maybe Zacchaeus was seeking for meaning. But all those things can only be found through Jesus. And maybe you're here today and you're seeking peace. You're seeking forgiveness. You're seeking purpose in life. But those things can only be found through Jesus. I almost changed the last hymn today, but I like the last hymn today, so I didn't change it. But here are some of the words, because this is what's happening here and what may be happening in this room today. I sought the Lord, and afterward I knew. He moved my soul to seek him, seeking me. It was not I that found, O Savior, true. No, I was found by thee. And so if you've sensed that you're having an interest in this Savior, well, that he's seeking you this morning. And Zacchaeus received him into his house rejoicing. And perhaps today you've come, and maybe you've, in the mind of your mind's eye, you see Jesus looking at you. You hear him saying, I must come to you today. I encourage you to do what Zacchaeus did, to receive him. Receive him joyfully. John writes, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. That's the promise. And if that's what you sense today, I invite you to pray with me now. I encourage you to look to the Savior, which maybe you have never done before. Maybe you're young, maybe you're old, maybe you've been in church for a long time, but maybe you have never received and looked to Christ in this way. Let's pray. If that's the case, if that's what you hear in your heart, please make this prayer your own. Father in heaven, I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. And just like Zacchaeus, I want to know what you have provided for me. I would like to know forgiveness. I would like to know peace. And therefore, I invite you not into my home, but into my heart. And I believe that you died for my sins and rose from the dead. And I receive you and ask that you would help me, Lord, to turn from my sin and to look to you, that your Spirit would help me live a new way of life. And I thank you that heaven for me is now not based on my own thinking of what I am or who, what I've done, but in Jesus Christ, our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.